Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 31 of Radio Radar. I'm your host, Hollander Cooper. Here with me is...
Tom Magrino. Did you just do a little dance?
I don't
start
think
off?
I did.
I saw a...
Hello, everyone! Yeah, I guess if I move, it makes it feel... I got
like you were dancing.
The moves like Magrino.
I got the moves.
So, yeah, that's all. It's just me and Tom doing this. How you doing, Hank?
I'm here, Henry Gilbert.
What's your Twitter name again?
HENEREYG on Twitter.
Yeah, and we're going to have more people throughout the show. It's a busy week. We have people, like, running out to lunch, people trying to do PAX East coverage stuff. It's a weird week for us, but...
Recording reviews.
Yeah, recording video reviews for certain games that will shock you.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to leave it right there.
Can't we be somewhat of it? I mean, the exclusive reviews are out at other places.
So that game is dope as shit.
My idea was to have Lucas put a review together of quotes from the IGN review that he agrees with.
Oh.
Like, put together, like, here is IGN's review, and just, like, Frankenstein together, sentences.
I see. And then, like, put an editorial spin on their review?
Yeah.
I wonder if that would be...
Kotaku had a pretty good review of the IGN review.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I still feel like it puts us in embargo territory.
Yeah. Even. But you'll find out on Monday? Monday?
No.
Monday from Games Radar. Or if you want, you could just go right now to IGN.com and read their review. Which was posted early.
By some chump.
Some chump.
Who wrote it? I don't even know.
Ryan McCaffey.
Old coworker.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
I
have no idea.
So it was written by Ryan McCaffey of OXM. He used to work at OXM. And edited by Dan Stapleton, who used to be a PC gamer.
Oh, that's right.
So they've betrayed us.
They have. Go and burn their building down.
But don't worry. I mean, here's what we can say without breaking the embargo. So in the last level of the game, you find out the entire thing takes... Henry looks so worried right now that I'm legitimately going to spoil it.
And Ken Levine's colon.
Yes.
Well, you don't know. Well, you've been ignoring any possible spoilers,
I got
too,
super...
Right?
So the second I heard, like, uh-oh, people are spoiling it on Twitter, I just stopped checking Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, no, I will tweet
the
things.
The day that Twitter broke.
You had a funny tweet at Ken Levine last night.
Yeah, so...
Let's recount that tweet now.
You found that tweet much funnier than I did. Because so a rumor came out yesterday that Bioshock Infinite cost $200 million to make.
Yeah.
And Ken Levine was like, wow, I wonder where those checks went, because they certainly didn't come to us. And I responded that I'm hearing a new rumor that they had built Columbia for real and just filmed the entire thing there. And Henry found that tweet a lot funnier than I.
Funny tweet.
Fine effort.
Thank you. So yeah,
you
we have
contributed to the conversation.
We have a good show for you today. Starting off with the top seven, written by Ryan Talgenic, who is going to be joining us a little later in the show.
I made him drive home to pick up a copy of Gears of War Ascension.
It's not what it's called.
Shit, I keep fucking that up.
Gears
of War Judgment.
There you go.
You could just change out those two subtitles and the games would be exactly the same.
It's funny because you could say, like, it's how Cole ascended to be a leader, or how Kratos was judged by the Furies. It doesn't take much to...
Subtitles are pretty pointless these days.
Top seven luckiest game characters, because Sunday was...
that's right, yeah.
St. Patrick's Day and the luck of the Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with number seven, Chansey.
Yeah, or as it's known, as the Pokemon is known in Japan, Lucky.
Yes. So it's sort of like a free pass for Chansey. Chansey is literally the lucky Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. She's a weird fat pink rabbit thing that carries an egg.
So Chanseys are aliens.
Technically, yeah, kind
of. I remember somebody making fun of this. It's like, so in one of the Pokemon episodes, like, Chanseys, which are giant pink monsters, descend from the sky, and everyone's like, look, they're Pokemon from space. So, and it's like, no, that's just a fucking alien at that point. Like, how is it like...
Mm-hmm. So are there alien humans in the Pokemon universe?
No.
There's just alien Pokemon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. God, Pokemon is weird.
Yeah, it is. But what are chances? Does Chansey have metronome?
No. You're thinking of
Jigglypuff.
Clefairy.
Clefairy?
Yeah. Clefairy knows metronome.
So what is so lucky about Chansey besides the name?
Well, to catch one, it's very lucky. Like, to find one, you have to be very lucky, like walking in tall grass, and then you'll actually get one. It was one of those Pokemon that's not good, not all that useful in battle, but you have to, you're really looking for them just to complete your collection.
Yeah.
Is he one of the hardest to find or something?
In Red and Blue, maybe.
Yeah, in Red and Blue, at least, in the original. And then also with Chansey, like, it comes with a luck egg.
Okay.
Which is a healing item, carries with it, and it uses its healing stuff in the cartoons. They're nurses at Pokemon centers when they heal Pokemon.
They're basically everywhere in the cartoons.
It kind of, well, at least to Pokemon centers. They're employed at Pokemon centers.
But because Pokemon are essentially slaves,
right.
They're like, if you've ever seen like an old movie where they go somewhere and it's like, oh, it's a slave that they, it's like a house slave. Mm. That's essentially what Chansey's a house slave of the Pokemon universe.
Interesting.
We're getting dark here.
Yeah, hopefully she doesn't have to deal with her masters much.
No.
You know what?
Doesn't.
I gotta say, Samuel L. Jackson was. He was robbed by not even being nominated at the Oscars. Like, his house slave character, they would use a
in the Pokemon movie.
Are we talking about Django Unchained now?
Yeah, Django Unchained.
Oh,
okay.
I thought we were talking about the new Pokemon movie.
You didn't preface your statements with Django Unchained. We were talking about house slaves.
Then I say Samuel L. Jackson.
And then you went to Samuel L. Jackson.
I can see how that would sound awful.
I don't think he's a slave.
Okay, no. In the film Django Unchained, Samuel L. Jackson played an Oscar-worthy house slave.
He's very good at healing people, but he's hard to find.
Yes, and he carries with him a lucky egg.
Right.
And in the Japanese version, his name was Lucky. Number six, Guybrush Threepwood.
Mm-hmm.
Guybrush literally lucks into everything.
Or unlucks into everything.
He unlucks into it, but he then lucks back out of it.
Right.
So he is just a guy who decides he wants to be a pirate. Though it's funny because he doesn't actually want to do any pirate stuff.
Yeah.
He just wants to be like the Disney version of a pirate. He's like, I want to be a pirate because then I can have a ship and a crew. Duh. And it's like, you realize that there's some murder and plunder. He's like, oh, I won't do that.
Swashbuckle.
Yeah, he wants to swashbuckle. Yeah. Though he usually wants to just insult people.
Right. Swashbuckle with your words.
Yes.
Cuts deep.
Yeah. In the first game, he isn't a mighty pirate yet, and he needs to become one. And he literally just kind of like points and clicks. Never gets there by skill.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
He always just finds a way to kind of just work his way into, and it's a point and click adventure, so that means clicking on shit. Work his way into it. And then when he actually manages to defeat the ghost zombie pirate LeChuck, he does it because he has root beer in his hand. That just happens to screw him over. Like, it's just, there's so many happenstances.
He's the kind of guy who would get stranded on a desert island and then be walking and fall into a pit that has, like, billions of doubloons in it.
And a boat.
And a boat.
Yeah.
Also in the in the Telltale games, didn't he died and resurrected and got lost a hand and got it back?
Well, his hand turned zombified.
Right.
And he did, like, die and come back. And it's the same thing. He's essentially Jack Sparrow, where it's like you're always wondering, did he have this planned all along?
Or just like drunken master his way.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to shoot that rope and it's going to pull me to the top. Am I going to be stranded up there? You get to the top, look around. Oh, look, there's a ledge for me to step onto. Yeah. It's essentially his style. Number five, Nathan Drake. Now, Nathan Drake isn't on this list for surviving injuries.
Right.
It's more because if you realistically look at the situations that Nathan Drake gets into, they almost feel too perfect. Mm-hmm. Went like he'll start climbing an ancient ruin and the column will slowly fall and hit another column, which makes him perfectly in range to grab a new spot. Or he's climbing a falling train car and something falls and flies and bounces off a thing and almost hits him in the head, but instead of hitting him in the head, it opens a window,
right,
which he can climb out of. So it's the games are made for cinematic moments, but in order to facilitate that, it ends up just becoming weird strokes of luck.
Yeah, or he's in a burning building, and he comes out with, like, not smoke inhalation or anything.
Yeah, because the thing, like, explosions will knock out all the windows for him.
Yeah.
It's
just
always
created a better avenue for him to dive out of something.
Yes, but the number four entry on this list is here for surviving injuries. Lara Croft.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Lara or Laura? I'm going to ask
Lara.
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 I don't think it's Lara.
Lara.
Lara Croft.
Oh. I think it's Lara.
Lara.
I feel like we as Americans lack the, you know how
tongue.
Yeah, we lack the tongue. It's not a sound that is in our language.
And the funny thing is, in the game, different characters will call her Laura or Lara.
Really?
Lara. That's what we're supposed to say.
Lara?
Lara Croft.
I've seen people in the insult that in the game she's apparently an expert in Japanese and that her Japanese is terrible.
I don't. I think I saw the same person. It was
I saw Chris Kohler say that.
He's the only one who said it, but I never heard her try to speak Japanese in the game.
I've missed it. I
love how Chris Kohler is the authority on Japanese.
I heard other Japanese learner, whatever.
No. So, Henry Gilbert,
the authority on English.
Yes. Lara Croft is on here for surviving injuries, but it's not that she avoids them.
I'm shocked that she didn't get any, like, infections.
Well, yeah.
Or,
as
like,
soon
septic.
As the new Tomb Raider begins,
you fall on a spiky nail.
I think it's like a piece of rebar.
Yeah.
And it goes through your stomach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it hurts.
Yeah.
She yells a lot, and she covers it up like, oh, man, that just sucks.
Oh, son of a...
I need to explain, just in case you're listening and you're not a human. The human body is essentially a sack full of organs you need to survive.
Uh-huh.
And she had a spike go through that somehow missed all of them.
You can't really operate without most of those organs.
You need at least two-thirds, I believe.
And then you also need the blood that's staying inside of you that a hole like that will then...
Right.
Like, at least I felt in Uncharted 2, they were stretching it a bit too, where he wakes up with a gut shot. He's gut shot. And he still runs around and shoots people for a good hour.
Look,
I love finally
it's all the adrenaline,
out.
Man.
I just love how it's a common video game and movie thing to, like, oh my god, I'm bleeding out, I'm going to die, which means for 5 to 10 minutes I'm going to walk slowly, and then it's like, all right, I'm good to start climbing mountains again.
I mean, it really only works for Wolverine.
That's IRL. So awesome in Wolverine.
Yeah,
but the rebar going through her, or the spike or whatever, is just like one of 100 times that sort of things happens.
I mean, that was the only one.
That's the only one that's like, every other one is like, she should probably like see a doctor.
Right,
but
she
that's
should
the
probably
one
lie down. That was the one that was just like, this is preposterous. Like, you definitely have tetanus.
You could probably,
at the very least.
And the game takes place over a long enough time that she should her blood should be septic. You're right.
Yeah.
Why didn't she go through water, too? Like, why aren't there, like, there should be mites and maggots all
I know,
up
right?
in there.
I'm wondering if somebody, because you can see the exact spot it hits. I'd love to find a doctor and be like, what would be fucked?
So, I mean...
Like, what's ruined right there?
A kidney, perhaps? Appendix? Maybe?
Maybe. It's a little higher than that, I think.
Then you're getting into liver territory?
Yeah. Something got punctured and she didn't really...
Yeah.
And then later I think she gets like a leg wound and she cauterizes it with like a hot blade. But she's still... Like, she should still be dead from the stomach wound.
Yeah. And she steps on a bear trap, which would just crush her shin.
Yeah. Ugh. It hurts to think about. But, as luck would have it, she survives.
She's tough.
Yeah.
Tough. Drinks a lot
She's
of
tough.
Milk.
Yeah. A ridiculous
calcium
amount.
Intake is quite high.
Yeah. Number 3 on the list, Earthworm Jim. Because Earthworm Jim's origin is in literally just being a regular earthworm.
Mm-hmm. He was simply an earthworm. Then that stupid crow guy, whatever his dumb name was, he steals a super power suit for Queen Slug for a butt. Then that power suit.
Excellent name.
Yes.
The final stage of the game is all her butt, and you're running on it until you finally get to her and you kill her.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyway, so then the power suit falls from the sky. Out of all possible places for it to fall, it lands directly on top of a worm, and a being inside of that suit turns it into, like, it gives it teeth and eyes and a brain.
Yeah. I mean, this is probably another case of being
teeth is
more unlucky than lucky, because, you know... Before the suit, he was just an earthworm.
But earthworms only live for, like, 3 days.
Yeah, but they can be cut up into, like, 80 pieces, and they all have different hearts. And
I thought you were
No, I just found out that that's
is that not
true.
True? So apparently, is that urban myth?
If you cut an earthworm in half, the side with the head might survive.
Uh-huh.
The other side is just dead. It's a dead earthworm.
Oh.
So if you cut an earthworm in half, there's like it's probably just going to die, or you have half an earthworm left.
Huh.
But earthworms are hermaphrodites. When they have sex, they match up both of their genitals together.
Wow. So is Earthworm Jim a hermaphrodite?
Yeah.
Well, doesn't he have a lady friend?
The princess, what's her name? That is literally her name, Princess What's-Her-Name.
She's probably not interested because she's like, look, I'm a hermaphrodite.
I'm wondering if we could do a list of gaming's greatest hermaphrodites or if Earthworm Jim is the only one.
He's
what
on
other
the top
hermaphrodites
there.
Could there be? I can't name a single one.
I mean, they're
Radio Radar at GamesRadar.com. Write in with your list of top seven hermaphrodites.
Just please send us pictures of hermaphrodites. Specifically send those to... while you're here, remind us to... Greg will be on the show later. Greg's email address right now is his full name, including his impossible-to-spell last name.
Penninger.
As a community manager, it should probably just be Greg H.
Yeah.
So we need to fix that so I can say that you should send him all of those hermaphrodite
pictures.
That's true. Video game hermaphrodites.
Right.
Or just regular.
Or personal. If you are yourself a hermaphrodite, we don't know much about it, and we'd like to see it.
Anyway, I thought you were... Tom.
You said that so genuinely. And
I thought in a very existential way you were saying that Earthworm Jim was unlucky because he was cursed with consciousness.
That too. God, to be an earthworm.
Yeah.
To live and die not knowing that you can't lose your butt.
Yeah.
If it's cut off, it's gone.
Number two, Master Chief. John 117, is that it?
Yes, that is right.
John 117. So Master Chief is on this list because for some reason he is by plot... lucky.
He is. That is his thing. Why he was picked by Cortana. That's why he is the ultimate Spartan.
And
all the Spartans are genetically perfect human beings,
right?
Who are sociopaths, but otherwise perfect.
They're turned into sociopaths.
Yeah.
He is that. Like characters will say no, you're lucky.
You're
like as if lucky was mustache.
Yeah.
You have a lot of luck. Your luck stat is really high.
I mean, there is that. In D&D, for instance, you can get the feat luck.
Yeah, but that just gives you
plus
other
whatever
stats.
To your...
Well, he must hit 20 a lot, then, the implication.
He rolls natural 20s, on a...
All of his dex checks.
Right.
Every time dexterity comes into play, you're falling, you just jumped out of space.
You just halo jumped.
Nat 20, you survived.
And you... Yes.
Back when I played pen and paper RPGs, you know what I really hated was when... A one or a series of one, two ones meant a horrible, awful thing happened.
You critical failed.
Yeah, a critical fail, and it would be you fell and broke one of your legs, five damage. That was just such a shitty thing to have. If you had bad rolls, just in one day, a character would, die four times.
All it takes is a bad day.
I actually really like having, double ones.
So my balance to that, when I DM'd, is we'd have the ability to insta-kill enemies if you rolled two 20s in a row.
Yeah.
And then your third roll would confirm to hit. That would be considered an insta-kill for an enemy. So it's you could be fighting a dragon. If you roll two 20s and a 19 or a 20 or whatever, you throw a rock and it hits it in the eye and it collapses.
Yeah.
But nat ones are always fun because it's if you're using a bow, it's your string breaks. It's I don't care that you've been shooting bow. Yep. You've been firing bows for 20 years and you're a master. You pulled back too hard and that shit snapped.
Your arrow, the shaft on your arrow snaps and splinters go into your eye.
Yes.
Yep. Well, see, that's one thing. But I was in a plot, I was carrying someone once, an important person. I was kidnapping them, basically, in the story. And then he was trying to get out of, I was trying to hold on to him. I roll two ones. And then I drop him and his neck breaks.
his neck breaks.
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty fumbled. That's a pretty powerful
drop.
So you were kidnapping him and his neck broke. And so what did you do? You're just like.
I was like, well, and then I think my character literally went to Denny's and I'm done. I'm going to hide at
All
Denny's.
I can afford now because I didn't get that ransom is Denny's.
This was in Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh, okay.
This is not Denny's.
I was literally picturing a D&D character going
too,
to Denny's. And I'm like, I kind of like the idea of a D&D Denny's.
I was kind of liking the idea of a D&D character kidnapping another character.
I kind of just want to go to Denny's right now.
I want to play D&D.
You want to go play D&D at Denny's?
I play that for... 2 years straight, me and my friends, almost every Tuesday, we went to Denny's and from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. played Vampire the Masquerade.
You were living the dream, sir.
It was pretty great.
If you expect either of us to make fun of you right now, you are sorely mistaken. I just got super, envious.
It was good times. It's one of those things you didn't realize how good it was till it was over.
Till they were all dead.
Till they got married or... became managers at CVS.
Oh, Florida. Number one on the list of
there was so much
top
more
seven
we could have said about Master Chief.
Luckiest game characters.
In short, Master Chief is lucky.
Is a lucky son bitch. Number one, Clayton Carmine.
Wow.
Mm.
So Clayton Carmine is the last surviving, as far as we know, Carmine brother.
Mm-hmm. He literally had the Deus Ex Machina happen for him. Because the Epic reached out to the community and was like, does he live or does he die?
Buy a shirt.
Buy a shirt. And you
for
guys
charity.
Bought the shirts.
For
and
charity.
Saved Clayton Carmine's
life. So yeah,
life.
So the reason he's on this list, besides the fact that he is lucky to survive that situation at all, is because his fate was put into the hands of you guys. And
known
you're
assholes.
Awful. Yeah,
known
you're,
assholes.
You revel in the fact that you are just the worst.
You just want to see him suffer.
And the votes came in through charitable donations, which is another big step for you filthy, filthy
buying
bastards.
Fake t-shirt out of your live avatar.
And you all banded together and saved Clayton Carmine.
Was that close?
They never said.
Oh.
I bet
you guys didn't do it. And they were just like...
they're like, we made the cutscene for him live in. Let's just say he won. Yeah. I bought both t-shirts because I wanted to have both. And so it was a wash.
Basically. Why don't you wear them nowadays? Oh, right. They're digital.
Yeah. Well, I prefer to wear digital. I actually have bought...
I would prefer to wear digital clothes as well.
I have actually bought like 5 t-shirts for my avatar just because I own them in real life. I want my guy to wear the shirts I own.
I want him to be my little mini-me.
Exactly.
I want him to have the experiences that I'm not.
You know, I loved Carmine in Gears 2 because he has this. It was this hilarious sequence I don't think many people talk about, where he's going with Dom and Marcus, like, I think into the grub hole or whatever, where they're chasing the giant thing. And when he's there, Carmine's basically saying all the things that some other people groused about with the first Gears, where he's like, why don't you guys wear helmets? You're on the field. And like, aren't you breathing in horrible shit? And then Marcus and Dom answer, yeah, but try watching your 7 o'clock when you're wearing a helmet, stupid.
Yeah, I think Dom specifically goes like, yeah, but the enhanced viewing range without wearing a helmet means you're not going to be caught by a sniper. Yeah. And then Marcus is like, Dom, shut up! Like, stop being rude, his brother got shot. It's just nothing but him exposition and then them making fun of his dead brother. And then Clayton Carmine shows up and he's ripped as hell. He's somehow the most ripped gear, which is ridiculous.
Truly a feat of Unreal Engine 3.
And he survives. Yeah, they had to wait to Unreal Engine 3.75 to be able to pull off Clayton Carmine's abs. But yeah, so Clayton Carmine, number one luckiest game character. And that's it for the top 7 this week.
Short list.
Short. Well,
we blew through it.
7 entries.
Yeah,
it's only.
Normally, we go into a ridiculous, ridiculous tangent.
We talked about Denny's for a solid 10 minutes.
We did actually.
Without a fourth person here, I think we were 20% less talking.
We need Ryan to tell a story about how in Michigan he like
he
killed
like
someone.
Ate 4 cheeseburgers in front of like a starving homeless man.
We need to see if he wants to tell that story.
On top of
tell that story later because that is sort of a story to tell. But we will be right back with news, previews, and then we'll have reviews a
perhaps
little later.
Brian Talchenik.
Perhaps. Maybe he'll tell that story we just teased.
Hey.
We'll be right back. And we're in segment 2, and joining us is Ryan.
A man who has
moves like Jagger. I got them moves right. Like Britney.
There we go.
Or wait, no,
moves
that's
like
not the word.
What?
It's Britney. Will I am.
Ryan Talchenik.
We got to the kick us out.
No,
that's Kesha. It's really good. It's a really good.
2
Kesha.
Weeks in a row.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
I'm sorry.
So yeah, we just went over the top 7, and
yes.
Before we get to
the top 7,
news,
the
story that we were going to talk about, we need to hear the most important story, which is the time in which you deprived a man, a starving man, of dinner,
of a burrito.
Yeah.
Back in my college days, and after a heavy night of drinking, we went and got some Taco Bell, but accidentally forgot to pick up one of my buddy's orders. And he was devastated in his drunken state when we returned. I mean,
who wouldn't be?
Yeah,
you're
of
drunk.
Course.
I've been there.
Who hasn't been
it's
there?
Really upsetting, especially when your other friends are all enjoying
just
a
enjoying,
nice...
They were living moss.
They are
in
living
front of you.
The mossest.
You trusted your friends to get you that meal.
They thought
right.
you were going to bring him along to live moss with you, and you're like, you know what?
They were just too drunk to remember your meal. That was the problem. And As I normally do, I ordered way too much food, right. Far more than a human body can possibly consume.
Without serious damage.
Right, and here I was, staring down my final burrito.
Final?
Of many burritos. And I just couldn't do it. I was so full. And as my friend looked at me with pleading eyes, begging me, I could see it. And he's like,
"You gotta eat that burrito."
Because I said out loud while gripping this burrito ever so gently, I said, "I don't think I can eat this burrito." And he looked at me and he's like, "Can I have it?" Just almost crying, begging. And I said, "No. I'm gonna eat it anyway." And I proceeded.
Did you eat it all?
I ate the whole thing and then immediately threw up.
He will look up and ask me for my burrito, and I will look down and say, "No."
That's how much you didn't get.
I deprived him of his burrito.
I'd rather vomit this up and get nothing out of this burrito.
Moral of the story?
I mean, just...
Don't order too much at Taco Bell.
No, I mean,
I was going to say Ryan's an asshole.
Oh, no.
Well, both could... There could be an argument for both.
they're one and the same in many ways.
Of course.
So that's it for Radio Radar this week.
Thanks for joining us. We had a good time.
H-E-N-E-R-G-E-Y-L-B.
H-E-N-E-R-E-Y.
It's almost like a song.
I know.
When it escapes Henry's
mouth. Except it lacks rhythm or any purpose.
Do it like Jagger would do it.
Henry, your tongue is a rudder. It steers the whole ship. Be careful of what you send out of your mouth.
That's a pretty interesting rudder.
So let's jump into the news.
It's a quote from a song.
Oh.
I see. Anyways, continue.
Who was the bard who penned that one?
Don't worry about it.
Is it Kesha?
Oh, she's not smart enough to do something that.
Ouch.
Well, I don't know. I don't know Kesha. I don't know Kesha.
She's one of the judges on The Voice. I know that.
Oh, though one time I saw her on a talk show when her very popular song was whatever her first hit was, and it had that line about brushing your teeth with Jack. And I forget which talk show it was, but my favorite thing was the host was like, "Here's a bottle of Jack. I'd like to see you brush your teeth with it." And she's kind of put on the spot and was like, "Okay," and did that right on the set. I was like, "Oh, that's gross."
It's TikTok.
I mean,
TikTok
disinfect the bacteria.
There are benefits to
presumably.
She had to brush all the glitter out of the way so you could see her face.
Right. Do you think she put some like xanthan gum in there to make it like toothpaste?
No, probably not.
But then you'd have to swallow it still.
Right.
You don't want to waste Jack.
It's true.
News for this week. So there's Battlefield 4 is going to be announced fairly soon, isn't it? Like next week?
I think next week. EA has very high-profile-y or something announced that they will be announcing it.
And then they announced that they'd be announcing it with an announcement trailer, and then they announced that with a Vine.
Right.
And now they've announced the announcement trailer,
right,
which is
A submarine.
Yeah. So there's going to be underwater.
So here's my concern. Unless the entire map is an underwater map in which you only participate in sea battles, like, how can a submarine possibly contribute to whatever is happening on land? Unless it's shooting, like, missiles out or something.
Well, I mean, you don't have to have land. There were some Battlefield 1942 maps that didn't have land.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, unless the entire map is
presumably
just the sea.
Presumably, yeah, there would be... I mean, that would like a map in the Pacific or something.
That'd
like,
be kind of cool. I'm curious.
Aircraft carriers,
they could do
planes.
A small... I mean, Wake Island, they could just shrink Wake Island down to make it smaller. Like, there could be a small island with an aircraft base.
Dude, how cool would that be to pilot an aircraft carrier while you've got, like, airplanes?
Can you just ram into a submarine?
You can do that in 1942.
You can pilot an aircraft carrier?
Yeah.
And you can... Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And people would... And it was the douchiest thing to do because you could, like, drive it into, like, awful places.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm pretty sure you could pilot... You could drive
it. I don't recall that, but I never tested it, so...
I know you could blow up the air... I feel like you could. I could be wrong, but I know that you could...
I know in 1943 there was an aircraft carrier that you could... The Xbox Live game.
Right.
You could launch off of.
Right, that's pretty common.
Could actually control
it. I feel like it may have been something you could do in 1942, but either way, if they just did, like, a Wake Island and added submarines that could blow up aircraft carriers, they could do some cool stuff with that.
Dude, that would be sweet.
Though, honestly,
I would play
my
the shit
guess...
out of that.
There's going to be, in Battlefield 4's surprisingly disappointing campaign, there will be a level in a submarine. And that is what...
Oh, certainly. And yes, absolutely.
And the other thing is, I'm sure the submarine will just be unpilotable.
It will just be, it'll be a level like, it'll be a Call of Duty level, except it'll lack the set piece charm that Call of Duty levels have.
Yeah. Like,
because
like,
DICE hasn't been able to pull that off recently.
Like all Battlefield vehicles, it'll take at least 4 hours of practice to figure it out.
Like, why does pushing up make it go sideways? And it's like, that's just how they do this. If you don't have a flight stick, you're proper fucked.
A solid hour and a half trying to figure out how to fly a helicopter in Battlefield.
You're one of those people.
And I just couldn't do it.
Oh, man.
I'll tell you how. Here's what you do. You load it up with as many people as possible. Yeah. You go... No, seriously. You go as high as you can.
And then bail.
No. You fly really, really fast towards the spot you want to get to. Yeah. And then you just jump out.
Yeah, right.
Usually, you parachute down while the helicopter flies off the side of the map and everyone gets killed.
Right.
That's how I've always kills. Flies.
Although I will say, when you're in a helicopter with a bunch of people and somebody knows how to pilot, it's one of the coolest things I've ever done in a game.
And I feel dumb. Because I feel like I'm too stupid to pilot.
I have a question about 1942. Were there more? I feel like, or not 1942, maybe Vietnam. I feel like there was like a zip line feature other than just parachuting out. I could be wrong.
I never played 42.
I don't
42 wouldn't have. That doesn't make any sense.
I don't recall.
Okay.
Maybe if I think there might have been like helicopter spawning points, but I think you might be thinking of Medal of Honor. That was a thing that happened in Warfighter.
Maybe. I promise you I was not. I've never played Medal
of Honor. I don't recall it happening in Battlefield, but
I feel like that'd be fun.
I didn't think of this before we were taking notes for the episode, but isn't also pretty big news that John Riccitiello like is resigned from EA?
Yeah, it's pretty big. I mean, I am personally shocked that John Riccitiello wasn't forced out, like, a long time ago.
A year ago.
Like 3 years ago. Because he took over in 2007, I think. He brought BioWare and Pandemic with him. He's like, all right, we're going to change everything. We're going to focus on quality. We're going to launch all these new IPs. And he did that, and everything tanked.
But then the thing was, like, it's almost... they tanked, and some of them tanked originally and then had legs. Like, Mirror's Edge didn't do well at first, but ended up growing into a fairly popular brand. But he was so afraid to go back to some of those things that it was like, if it didn't sell, like, 3 million day one, he abandoned them.
Well, then Dead Space, like, morphed into an action horror thing instead of just straight horror, too.
Right, and Dragon Age went from a totally awesome game to something he tried to annualize, and then the second turned out to be...
Yeah, though I felt he was coming, at least from his description of, like, his reasoning that he gave publicly, he was coming from a good place where he... It was like, oh, EA was number one, but all we do is keep making a bunch of movie license crap and the same annual things again. We don't want to just be that. We want original IPs of EA stuff, like Dead Space and Mirror's Edge.
I'll say that EA is in a better place this generation than they were last generation, and a lot of that is probably thanks to him.
You think so?
I mean, remember, EA last generation was Activision this generation in terms of public opinion. Everyone was like, oh, they just...
Isn't that still the case?
They still hate EA.
Didn't they? I recall EA being voted the number one worst company in the world or something ridiculous.
Well, that was just because they kept buying companies and then immediately shutting them
down. But a lot of that was recent. There was a time in mid-generation when, like, Dead Space 2 was coming out, Mass Effect was doing really well, that it was like, oh, EA is on the upswing. But the problem is he kind of just kept doing it.
So he started doing, like, all the new stuff, but if you look at what EA has been releasing, like... in 2012, 2013, it's basically the same strategy they had at the end of in the Xbox, the original Xbox era, the original PlayStation 2 era, where it's just you have like three or four franchises and just release a bunch of games in those franchises.
Yeah, which is a shame because like it almost feels like in the middle of this generation they were going in the right direction and they've kind of gone back in the wrong
way. One, you hear like they give quotes about how every game's got to have microtransaction now or they're not in the business of single-player only games anymore, like which is sad to hear, but I mean, that's also just every company is pretty much feeling that these days.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all finding new ways to figure out how to deal with the future of gaming without totally ruining the original premise of their franchises. That's why I thought, like, Project $10 was a good way to handle it.
Mm-hmm. Which one was that?
That was EA's thing where it's just, like, every game's going to have a day one, a season pass. Every game's going to come with a DLC, on-disc DLC for $10 that you get for free if you buy the game new.
Right.
And it was like, listen, you can still buy a game used, you'll get it for like $15 off, and then if you end up liking it a lot and want to support the developers, here's some bonus content. But they ended up just instead trying to figure out how to shove multiplayer into everything because people freaked out about on-disc DLC, and it's like, something's got to budge.
Mm-hmm.
You can just decide what you want it to be.
Though it doesn't multiplayer, as I think someone in here has written in an editorial.
Perhaps someone, two editorials? One?
an editorial and a top seven.
Okay. Multiplayer doesn't murder a game. Right. Like it, I know people who I don't think play any games multiplayer except for Mass Effect 3. Like that.
Yeah,
and they're still doing it.
That was okay. But then if you look at like but the issue is, I mean, there was that, and then there's Dead Space 3, where the game was developed. Part of the reason Dead Space 3 is not bad. It's not as good as we wanted it to be, is because that co-op changed the build of the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if they would have just tacked on a real multiplayer component instead of co-op, or done Project $10 and just made $10 DLC, that would probably have ended up being a better game, because they wouldn't have had to build it from the ground up for co-op and then reverse engineer it to still work single player.
How shocked would you be if Battlefield 4 comes out this year?
Not.
It's got to be this
year. I wouldn't be terribly surprised
at
all.
That said, I think EA has said it's not.
Oh, really?
I feel like EA said a while ago that...
Why would they be announcing it in March if it wasn't coming out in...
I mean, it probably...
They need something in November.
They have Respawn's game. Respawn's game's supposed to be coming out soon.
I feel like Respawn could say, we need another year, while DICE can just say, yes, master.
Yeah, like, I feel like DICE has said before that it's like, no, we can't annualize
Battlefield.
Well,
this is 2 years.
What's that?
This is 2 years.
Didn't it come out?
This has been about 2 years.
Oh. There's been a ton of Battlefield 3 DLC. Like, that's
exactly
why it feels like Battlefield 3 is always there.
It came out against Black Ops 2. No, Modern Warfare
3.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, you forgot about the great game Medal of Honor Warfighter. I mean, come on.
We have Warfighter bought them
time. That was what the...
And now that series is dead.
Honestly, it sounds like, I mean, if Battlefield comes out this year, then Respawn's game will be next year, and then that's their cycle. Like, they're killing Medal of Honor existed to give DICE and Respawn time.
An extra year.
Mm-hmm. So now that's their every other year.
Could be.
Maybe. Yep.
And meanwhile, Army of Two, like, that comes out next week.
Sure does.
What a dumb...
Oh, I forgot about that game.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, it's not like they shut down the studio a month before the game came out, right?
Nope.
Right, guys?
Oh, wait a second.
Right. Wow. By the way, I'm super excited for that game, and I'm not even joking.
Man. I can't wait to play it.
I can't wait to never play it.
Radar Plays, me, you, and Tom.
Yep, yeah. That's going to be early next week. You can check Games Radar for Radar Plays new releases.
It is an abomination.
So far, I played it, and it was super fun.
I had a good time.
As long as I can do rock, paper, scissors, I don't give up.
I don't think you can.
Oh, that's stupid.
Well, you play as Alpha and Beta, not Salem and Rios.
Yeah,
time, so.
and they can blow off limbs, like, at the drop of a hat. Yeah. Limbs are attached by, like, string.
It's the new Soldier of Fortune.
You get to explode so many Mexican cabezas in that game.
Cabezas!
Cabeza, just Ambrose, like a little villager or something?
Cabeza, no, Ambrose Rodillas,
head.
E de dos.
That's a head. Oh,
cabeza.
Hey, let's sing a song real quick. Right. Cabeza, Ambrose Rodillas, E de dos. That's head, shoulders, knees, and toes in Spanish. Bo!
I took 2 years of Spanish in high school.
You looked
so
pleased with yourself.
I'm happy that I remembered that high school lesson.
Yeah. I remember chicken is pollo. Polio.
Ready for this one? Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, Paraguay, Uruguay, Argentina, and Chile. Those are the Spanish-speaking countries in South America that I know because I made a song out of them.
Holy fisting. That was impressive.
Me gusta.
Ha!
I know that
good.
From the South Park movie.
El gato es en mis pantalones.
So the next Xbox...
Thank you. That was going to a bad place.
The next Xbox... so there have been rumors about it being always online, and then those rumors end up being not true, and then those rumors come back, and then they're not true. Right now, we're on the upswing
right.
of those rumors.
Right now, they're true.
But there's a lot more people saying it's true,
yeah.
including, like, publishers and stuff. So the current rumor is that the next Xbox, which supposedly will be announced within the next few months, is going to require a constant internet connection.
So, one of the things that I...
The thing about...
No, not the thing about. One of the things...
About.
the SimCity debacle is...
Debacle.
I read that there were only 1.1 million units sold. Did you read
In the
that?
First 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. So, you can't handle 1.1 million people logging on. And presumably only a fraction of them were concurrent.
Let's say 500,000 to be super...
Sure,
yeah.
So, take that and think about... the server load necessary for the Xbox 720, like there's 50 million people, 100 million people.
So the counterpoint to that mm-hmm. is that's EA shitting a bed.
Right.
Microsoft hasn't fucked up
yet.
Yet.
Has there been anyone who hasn't fucked this up?
Microsoft.
I mean, well.
No one, I mean, in terms of always online DRM.
But who's done always online DRM? Ubisoft did it with Assassin's Creed, fucked it up.
I mean, technically every MMO does.
Blizzard did it with Diablo 3, fucked it up.
Yes.
EA has done it with SimCity, fucked it up.
And Spore.
And Spore fucked it up.
See, I'm wondering if this is a problem that will ever be resolved.
When internet connection speeds get better.
Well, not only that, but the amount of money that, again, we've talked about this before, the amount of money that has to go into housing those servers and renting those servers, it's easier and more cost effective for them to underbuy than overbuy, right? Because then you can buy more as
but
you need
them. But a company
the
size of EA should have that many servers already is the thing. It's like, if they have to be like, hey, people playing FIFA 10, sorry, we're shutting your shit down because we need this server for people who are actually going to play a game.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't understand how they can do it for some games but not for other games. Like, it seems like the MMO, for instance, they've cracked that. Why are they not able to?
Well, have you seen, like, the figure for what it costs Blizzard to run those servers that they have just for WoW all the time?
No. What?
It's like, I have to go double check the figure, but it's an absurd amount of money, like hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's like over $100,000, I think, per day just to run the servers that run that game.
Yeah, but I mean, in fairness, World of Warcraft was at one point making over $100 million a month.
No, I know it makes a shit ton of money. I'm just saying the cost of running many servers
the
are high.
Thing is,
and when you spread that across.
They need to fix that.
Yeah, no,
well,
so
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying it's a balls ton of money, and that's why it's a problem.
If it's going to be that expensive, then you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, well, and EA has come up with a bunch of different excuses as to why this happened, but
all of them are just like, they keep making it sound like the excuse before it is a lie.
Yeah,
my favorite one is, we didn't expect that many people to buy SimCity. Yeah. You didn't expect a million people to buy SimCity? That's, you wouldn't have funded that game.
Preposterous.
Right? And that also sounds like a humble brag, where they're just like, boy, so many people are playing this game, we
that
can't
was,
help
that was
it.
The original that Blizzard did, too. They were like, wow, we can't believe all you people logged in!
But meanwhile, when a new Halo launches, and their servers get hit the night it comes out with, like, 2 million concurrent people, there's not a hiccup.
Call of Duty's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason is, I mean, Microsoft has said they quadruple estimates in terms of buying servers. Uh-huh. They can because they're Microsoft, which is the reason that I think that this is potentially possible.
Yeah.
The only company that could pull it off right now is Microsoft. I don't think they should or will.
Yeah. Well, always on DRM, like just for a console, is it, you know, we're very spoiled living in a techie city like San Francisco, or even in a lot of suburbs now, they have, you know, high-speed internet. But not everywhere in America alone has
I don't
it.
Think
like
it's our internet that's the issue. Because if you think about Google, like, Google has server farms, like, the entire size of the state of Kansas.
Yeah.
I think it's really just the amount of money that a company... I mean, to me, I guess I equate it to, like, when a company releases a car that has a risk of catching on fire. They do this cost analysis of, like, all right, we will probably kill some people, but it's cheaper for us to just not recall the car.
Yeah, like we'll pay for
it's
every
the
person
fight
that
club formula.
Yeah, yeah, for every person that dies, we'll pay that family $5 million. So 1,000 people will die, yeah. Or we could do a $500 million recall. No, we're not going
to
do that.
And so for EA, it's cheaper for them, or it's more cost effective for them to rent less servers, even though they know that they're not renting enough servers.
Though right. I don't think
that's
they
what
expected.
I, that's what I was
and I think that,
to say.
But the reason I don't think that's the case is because SimCity was so ill-equipped to handle that. There weren't server queues. If they were planning on doing that, there would be actual server queues. Mm-hmm. You can't scroll or exit the server select screen. And every time you join a new server, which was their temporary fix, you need to do the tutorial again.
Oh,
like you could exit out of it, but it forced you into it. The game wasn't. If that was the plan all along, they would have prepared for it.
I just don't understand. Like. Were they thinking, like, oh, nobody's really going to buy SimCity?
So here's my theory, my crackpot tinfoil hat theory. Maxis went to EA, and they're like, hey, this is the game, we need servers. And how many, like, here's the bandwidth that each player will take. How many people can one server support? Mm-hmm. And EA said, 500,000. And they said, okay, we expect 1 million people will buy it in the first few weeks. We'll have 5 servers. That's enough for 5 million people. Cool. And then the game came out, and the servers supported, like, 200,000.
Yeah.
So, like, their servers just – they didn't have the servers. Like, I don't think anybody – I think that they didn't test the game enough, which is why this would happen. But that's the only solution – that's the only excuse I can think of that would make sense. Like, they –
estimated the servers could support more players than the servers actually could support.
I think my Fight Club theory makes more sense.
I don't. But, and even if that is true, they didn't expect it to go as bad as it did.
Yeah, I mean, it went well. Really bad.
Yeah, I don't suspect. But, yeah.
Well, from a consumer side of the Xbox 720, always on DRM or whatever, like there were millions, tens of millions of people even who never put their Xbox online. They didn't use Live ever, and I would cut off a whole population of people. Like there are kids who their parents don't want them on the internet. No matter what, like, the kids plus internet is scary for a lot of parents.
Unless Microsoft does what Amazon did with the original Kindle and includes a cheap, shitty 3G always online thing that's only existence is to verify online connections.
Just to shoot out a message like, I'm on.
Yep.
This is allowed to work. Like,
I mean, it would cost money, but that's the only way they could feasibly do this.
Even that way, I mean, there will still be dead spots and they will lose. I mean, it's going to be
lose
bad
people,
for some
but
people.
Even
lose
worse,
less.
it would be interesting if Microsoft makes publishers have their own servers for all of this stuff.
That would be
devastating.
That would be the only if that happens. It would. I mean, right now it already looks like Microsoft and Sony are switching places in terms of how they're approaching publishers. Yep. Like Sony went into the PS3 with crazy hubris of like, we're going to build this crazy piece of hardware, and you assholes better develop for it or else. And Microsoft was like, hey, we built a PC. Port your games over. It would be a total role reversal because Sony is like, hey, we're the most accessible thing ever. Please make your games with us. And Microsoft being like, it's always online. Build a server, asshole. Like,
well,
that
I mean,
would be a total hubris swap.
Most console games don't have dedicated servers, though, that have online functionality. Like, that's why you have hosts in the game. Like,
yeah.
Your Xbox right now is hosting this game. Like, it'd probably continue along the same lines.
But if it's always online,
like
you need to log into a server and stay connected.
Yeah.
That's a server they need to have.
Right. But I mean, if it's done for verification purposes, that would be easy enough. If you're not consuming, your only reason you're consuming bandwidth is to verify. That would consume far less than actually playing a game.
It would.
Yeah, but at the same time, SimCity, people have already modded SimCity to literally just not check for online, and it works. So SimCity isn't requiring a ton of server space to run, and they still couldn't get that shit together. Like, originally, EA blatantly lied.
I mean, it's a little different in that
that game had cloud computing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little different in that SimCity does rely on those servers purely for the regional stuff, but I mean,
even if you couldn't log in if you were in your own region. Like, it was their servers that couldn't support the amount of people.
Right, yeah.
So I'm just saying it is simpler, but it's still not simple enough.
I mean, we'll
also
find out.
Also, if Sony's not doing it, I don't think Microsoft can.
Really?
It needs to be an all, because that would make
segment the developer base.
I mean, I know that Ryan, you said that there was an article that was talking about how much more valuable it would make Microsoft, but it would make it much less valuable for consumers.
Oh yeah, people would just flock to the system that doesn't have always online.
Doesn't have all of the ridiculous hurdles to just play a game.
I mean, if we could be assured without a shadow of the doubt that the system would always work online, and that my internet connection would always work online, and that it would be seamless, and it would only ever stop pirates, and it would only ever stop people that steal games, then I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
But there's no way to guarantee that.
See, I think my fear here is that the always online stuff is creating this bubble of sorts where people are, right now, people feel fine with buying games because it's really not that big of a hassle to be, you know, doing what it takes right now to play a game. But somewhere there's like a bean counter somewhere. He's very nefarious. He's very evil. And he is like, you know what? This used games are a big problem. Piracy is a big problem. We have this solution. Let's enact it. And they're not really thinking about the human toll it's going to take on, like, the human psychology of it. They're going to be like, people are no longer going to want to engage with video games because of all the ridiculous hurdles that they're...
I think we talked about it before, that if both companies end up doing Always Online and it goes wrong, that's a video game crash.
You're basically killing the video game industry.
Like, that couldn't...
That is the worst case. That is a very possible worst case scenario.
You have a little bit to gain and so much to lose.
Yeah, like, if every game launched in the future, like how SimCity would launch, people would just be like, what the fuck? I'm going to go watch football now.
or they'll say, Angry Birds doesn't do that to me. I'll just play this.
And then Ouya will end up being the only console in 4 years.
Hmm.
That's scary.
So, apocalypse.
Yeah.
Apocalypse. But hopefully that doesn't happen, because I personally want to play Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, yeah?
Which
nice,
is rumored,
nice transition.
Bring
wow.
It back, rumored to be a rebundle branding working of Final Fantasy Versus 13 as a PS4 exclusive because Square cannot get its shit together.
So explain to me what the Versus.
All right.
Is.
So when Final Fantasy 13 was announced, it was another game was announced alongside it called
two games.
It was Final Fantasy Versus 13.
There was, you're getting this all wrong.
Okay. Henry,
was,
tell the story.
Prior to 13, there was a different Versus,
in
right?
In Final Fantasy, they announced Final Fantasy 13 Fabula Nova Crystallis.
Wait. Wasn't there a Final Fantasy game that had the Versus in it before all of this? Was it like Tactics or?
No, there was a fighting game called Dissidia.
Okay, but, I could be wrong.
So go ahead. So
they announced Fabula Nova Crystallis. In one go, they announced Final Fantasy 13, Final Fantasy Versus 13, and the game that ended up being Final Fantasy Type Zero for the PSP, which has still never come out here. But the 13 came out. Versus.
They dropped the Crystal Vertalis.
No, that's just like the branding for this universe of 13 stuff.
And then they showed Versus 13 in a closed demo. Like they had a trailer for it. They only showed like people at TGS 2 years ago, maybe 3 years. And after that, nothing has been shown for Versus. But
did the word Versus signify anything?
No, it's just another Final Fantasy game within that
13 universe.
Okay. Right. So basically, it's just one of those random words that publishers like to throw into
it's
a
just
title.
It made
be...
the name sound
they could
cool.
Have, they honestly thought. Could call it Revelations.
Okay,
like just from, pretend they called it Revelations.
From a behind the scenes standpoint, the Final Fantasy like had two camps working on it. There was the 13 team and the Versus 13 team, and the Versus team.
Lost.
Well, it was headed up by Tetsuya Nomura, the creator of Kingdom Hearts, and who took over Final Fantasy pretty much with 7.
Which is also the reason why you don't have Kingdom Hearts 3 yet, by the
way. Yeah. The Kingdom Hearts team was working on Versus this whole time. He refused to end it, and he has so much power within Square that they can't make him stop. And so...
Whenever they try, he literally he like, kills them.
They literally need to band together a group of plucky young heroes.
That's the next Final Fantasy game. Why hasn't somebody made this game?
So
Final Fantasy Versus 13 Versus.
Versus Tetsuya, whoever the fuck.
But Versus was, like, they were all announced as PS3, as assumed PS3 exclusives. I think Versus remained a PS3 exclusive, and theoretically... But, I wouldn't be surprised if they made it into a PS4.
I wouldn't be surprised either. Not only, but this has also been a rumor that came around first about maybe a year ago now.
Yeah.
There was this, like, mobile phone recording of a...
total bullshit.
Yeah, right.
But the one rumor...
But that's what it was.
...is the reason that Square has essentially done nothing but release Eidos games this generation is because it could not pull off making games for the PS3.
It's just so sad.
It just couldn't do it. It couldn't figure it out. And the reason that this is happening at all is because Sony stepped in and was like, we can help you finish these games. We know how to develop for our own console. So that's why the rumors are that it is now a PS4 exclusive, because Sony has been like, you guys are hemorrhaging money. We'll pay for the rest of this game.
Is Square hemorrhaging on this game?
It hasn't been released yet, Square, so I can't imagine it isn't.
I don't know if Square Enix.
I mean, we're talking like 6 years of dev time. That's a long time.
It's a money pit. I mean,
6 years of dev time for a game that hasn't been talked about in 2.5 years and is supposed to come out for a system that's going to be outdated in 6 months.
What is it with these because I'm getting strong whiffs of Gran Turismo 5 off of this. Where it's
I think in general, this generation is. They'll be known as the generation like that the Japanese developers fell behind. They didn't get it. They didn't get development. Either they made games that got canceled, or they put out games like, no, this is bad. You guys can... And like 13 alone, like if Versus wasn't such a joke, 13, a regular would be remembered as a really bad development because they announced it. It took 3 years. And while it was gorgeous, it was...
Shitty game.
Shitty game. They made, or they, I don't want to say shitty, but.
Oh, we gave it a 10.
Yeah.
So,
it made a lot of, It made a lot of bad.
We'll just say it's the Bulletstorm of JRPGs.
Oh, I thought Bulletstorm was all right.
Well, we also gave that a 10.
13 gets a bad rap. All
Ace Raider had a dark period.
We did.
Hey, guys, look, I will not stand for this. But anyway, the point is, 13, you just got to play 20 hours of it, and then you might see what's good about it.
Which is very little.
Look,
hardly worth the
13.
Somewhat pathetic in its.
Also, Henry, have you beaten 13?
I did.
I did, and I also beat 13 too.
That's what I'm saying. Ryan beat both of them.
Guess who will be playing Lightning Returns?
It's just so sad that, like, yeah, over Christmas break they had the first trailer for Lightning Returns, and nobody, including me, cared. And it used to be like. A new Final Fantasy trailer got me so excited.
No, they killed Final Fantasy
used to be a big deal.
They have.
Now,
but
here's
time,
the thing. People are beyond excited for Versus, or at least what they showed of Versus back in the day.
They're like, maybe...
Because it was very much a Kingdom Hearts Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, it's like we've entered this alternate dimension where, you know, Final Fantasy is dead, but there is this alternate Final Fantasy that will continue.
So we'll see. The 15, if
we haven't even discussed how bad 14 is. This conversation hasn't even gotten into that, by the way.
14
is a catastrophe.
Was a catastrophe.
Is a catastrophe.
It hasn't.
You think when
yet.
They launch with a subscription-based model, anyone is going to pay for that hunk of shit?
There are enough hardcore dedicated Final Fantasy fans to barely keep that thing on life support.
I can't imagine anyone who played Final Fantasy 14 would be like, you know what? I'm going to pay
for
it.
As I said in my Realm Reborn preview, it's not that bad now.
No, I mean, that game could be excellent now, but...
But it's got a subscription, which is the problem.
It has this foul funk surrounding it that will never go away. They basically buried a skunk in the game.
And it's
rotting now.
No, because they went through and recoded the entire fucking thing.
They cannot find the skunk to get it out.
I think they found the skunk.
Has permeated the walls.
Honestly, the main issue is it's so bad that their CEO has said that it's irreparably damaged their branding.
Yeah.
The only thing that can save Final Fantasy
is a good Final Fantasy.
Is Final Fantasy 15 being a total, like, they need to just abandon the
be a revelation.
Here's the thing, if 15 is not good,
they
that's
need to put
bad
the,
news
they
for
need to
Final
put the
Fantasy.
Franchise on
I wouldn't be surprised if shit is that bad, if 15 is like, we're not going to remake Final Fantasy 7, stop asking, but guess what universe 15 takes place in?
Right.
Yeah.
Going back.
Like, 13 won't fucking end. Like,
nobody cares about 13, and they just keep... Because I think they're like, this engine cost $1 billion to make. We've made 700 million back. I bet you we can just get into the black again.
They're basically re-promoting Final Fantasy
XIII. Yes. They added a few more slides to Final Fantasy 13.
And they won't even commit the
top of the stream.
Lightning Returns, they'll say, oh, it's the end of the Lightning story. But this is not the final, like, they won't say it's
what
the
last
13.
What they should do is make, they should just make this a handheld thing. Like, just the, at least the... 13 if they want to keep that going.
I'm just done with those characters.
They need to put this franchise on ice for like
they don't,
5 or 10
they,
years.
No, they can't. They need to just... They
with
need to
IDOS
hit,
stepping up? With
no,
all
they need
awesome
to hit,
IDOS
they need to hit hard with 15 and make it good.
Yeah.
They still can sell Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy is still a sellable brand in Japan. I think even in Japan, FF is not what it used to be, but it can still put... You'll still get 500,000 sales in Japan.
Just with that name.
Dragon Quest has a real opportunity here.
Owned by the same company, so they probably won't take it.
DQ will never be big in America, I promise you that, because it... They actually have a worse problem than... Dairy Queen is huge here.
We love it because it's fattening and they barely mix your blizzards together.
Those
well.
Vanilla ice cream cones dipped in that
the cherry. The cherry one
the
is the
cherry's good. I like the butterscotch.
But Dragon Quest, the reason it'll never be big
is
here...
Is there one around here?
Not close enough.
We should try. Totally is. We should go get one.
In the mall in Dale, in the one place we got Buffalo Wild Wings. There's a Dairy Queen.
That's in Daly City.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Next time we draft, we should get some dairy.
This news has gone too long. We should. I won't talk about
DuckTales.
So why isn't Dragon Quest going to?
Because Dragon Quest is so backwards. Like, I love Dragon Quest, but they always have to play the same. They are like, and Americans don't want a game that plays exactly the same as it did in 1986.
Except,
the Japanese fans do want that. They only want that. And when
they could go Fire Emblem with it, right?
Fire Emblem softened it some, but I still don't think Fire Emblem was a big seller here.
I was just going to say that they need to make it a mobile, a handheld brand, and they already have.
Yeah. Sort of. Well, then there's Dragon Quest X, which will probably never come out here. But, like, when you're Square and you say, as the games as we make them now sell 4 million copies in Japan alone, if we, you know, try to sell it to 2 million Americans to make those changes, we'd lose 2 million sales in Japan or more.
Yeah, right. So it will never end up hitting it big here. Also, one more quick announcement. We're not going to spend too long on it. Shout out to Chris Antista, because yeah. DuckTales is being brought back as a new game, which is a remake of the old game, but it looks awesome.
I'm not excited. I don't know why. I played this game on the NES. I thought it was all right.
Good time.
I bounced around on Scrooge's pogo stick.
That's what. Sounded dirty.
I bounced. Oh, I did. What? He's rich.
What did you?
You want to take a ride on his pogo stick?
He's rich.
Let's have some fun. This beat is sick.
This did you duck's watch got Disney a afternoon all the time stick. As a kid?
Hells yes. Yeah, so, I liked what is the Launchpad show?
Tailspin?
Tailspin.
No, the one when they're on the island.
Tailspin.
Oh yeah, it's Tailspin.
God damn it.
Launchpad's not on that show.
What about Chippendale Rescue Rangers?
Launchpad drove the I watched that too. But he flew. I remember that one episode where he had to clear the clouds out of the sky with his plane, so he just put a bulldozer on the front of his plane and just moved them around.
Yeah, but that wasn't Tailspin. Tailspin was only Jungle Book character.
It was Baloo was the pilot in that show.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't Launchpad?
No.
Launchpad flew a similar plane to Baloo's, but yeah.
Why the fuck is a bear flying?
They should wear pants.
I'm going to have to look this up.
So yeah, that got announced. You can check out more about it on GamesRadar.com. Mm-hmm. We're also going to have... What? What's...
I was looking at his doodle.
Oh, Ryan drew a picture of a fly and wrote Navi next to it.
Looks like a Charlotte's Web spider.
So we have a preview. Real quick, within like 30 seconds, Henry, TMNT Out of the Shadows.
All right.
Just tell us if it sucks or not.
I can't. It's a preview. I cannot make that claim. But,
okay.
It's TMNT game inspired by Arkham City, a downloadable coming to PSN and XBLA and PC. It's on the Unreal 3 engine. The turtles look weird in screens.
They look weird as hell.
If you look at those screens, they look pretty fucking weird. But in action, they look really cool. They fight like Batman. Like, it's not... From the look of it,
they
Batman.
They got the moves like Pac-Man. They got the moves like Batman.
Batman, yeah. Tom, Pac-Man, not Pac-Man.
I said Batman.
You said Pac-Man.
I was going Batman.
One, all three.
Raise your hand if you think you said Pac-Man.
He said
I heard Pac-Man the first time, not the second time.
Why would I say Pac-Man?
I don't know, but everyone who listens to this podcast is going to hear it.
Anyway, yeah, all the four turtles fight differently. Comes out in the summer. I think it's the right way to make a TMNT game at this point. Like, just not as a retail release.
Based on the new show.
Yeah, though it doesn't look like the new show. It's not as cartoony. And it's also, it reminded me of the Transformers Cybertron games that were clearly made for aging Transformers fans, but could still be enjoyed by children. Same deal with this. Like, in it, they show, like, hey, look at this co-op move. And, like, the two turtles, like, grab each other's legs and, like, roll like a bowling ball.
That's
and they're
cool.
Like, that was a move. Wait.
I like that, how you called them the aging Transformers.
Fans. Well, yeah.
Why
that's,
not the grown-up ones?
Well, now I just feel like I'm aging.
You're
like,
aging.
Not getting any younger, Hank.
You're past grown-up, and now you're just getting old.
Anyway, the turtles do a cool bowling ball move. Like, that was from the live-action, first live-action movie. Hmm. So, it looks neat.
Summer?
Summer.
Awesome.
Maybe Summer of Arcade.
All right. Slightly longer preview. Metro Last Light.
None of you guys played Metro 2033.
I played the first few hours.
Okay. I remember there were pigs
I like it in concept.
Yeah. Based on Metro 2033 was based on the novel of the same name by a Russian writer, Dmitry, I forget how to pronounce his last name, so I won't try.
Petrikov.
Maybe?
Nope.
I'm pretty sure it starts with a G. Anyway, very dark, atmospheric, blend little bits of like survival horror and resource management and I don't know. It's really, really neat. Anyways, now Metro Last Light, the sequel's coming out, not based on Metro 2034, the follow-up novel, but still penned by the author himself. The entire game's dialogue is. And it's basically Metro 2033, except it has made a lot of improvements to the underpowered weapons and shitty enemy AI that people complained about in the first game.
The bullet economy's gone, right?
I didn't actually get to see it in my demo, but... No, actually, I did. Yeah, no, it's not gone.
Your preview.
Oh. Yeah, it's
still there.
The bullet commie is still there, though. I'm not sure if you can still fire. So you have to use military grade bullets as currency in the game, and. And in 2033, you could also shoot that currency as just regular ammunition, which was obviously you didn't want to do that if you could avoid it. But I don't know if you can still shoot it. I didn't really see that.
In this game, you're using dirty ammo or something.
Yeah, it's like in the same. It's the same as it was in 2033. There's dirty ammo, which is you're in the metro tunnels of Moscow after a nuclear apocalypse happened, and dirty ammo is the term they use for bullets made from like scraps and things in the tunnels.
Are they unreliable? Do they misfire?
They're just weaker. The problem. Okay. Yeah, and. So the military grade stuff, the nice stuff, is the currency. And there, you're going to fight human enemies and still the mutated radiation monsters and things. They got a couple new monsters in there, and you can do. You can kind of choose to play stealthily or just run in. But it's going to be really challenging either way, because if you run in, you have a good chance of running out of bullets. And if you try and be stealthy, you really have to pay attention to enemy patterns and things. Otherwise, they're going to find you and kill you pretty quickly.
Awesome.
What bothers me about this game, and I pointed this out in your preview, is at the end of 2033, you make a decision.
Yes, there are two endings.
And irrespective of which decision you make, you are forced into a decision.
Correct. Well, the reason I don't have that big of a problem with it is, I mean, Last Light assumes the ending of both the novel and one of the choices in the previous game. So it assumes that was the canonical ending. And
which is kind of common in gaming.
Yeah, I mean, especially when it was
I mean, I guess it's like in the post-Mass Effect era, it just doesn't... I don't know.
Why give the choice if you're
The other problem is... The other problem is... The second ending in 2033, the one that is not present in the novel... If you chose that ending, there would not be a game because that would solve all the problems.
Well, in a way, you could assume this is the ending if you chose that.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it looks really good. I'm excited for it. May.
Awesome. It's still, still May.
Yeah, it's still May.
It was THQ, and now it's,
Deep Silver.
Deep Silver.
Wait,
Deep
no.
Silver.
Metro's Deep Silver.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep, blah,
blah, blah. Deep Silver made some good acquisitions off of
it. Yeah, they did.
That
Saints Row, which we just saw, I think, today, the preview went up.
Yeah.
Saints Row 4.
People at PAX East are getting to see it right now. I'm very jealous of them. Yeah. Speaking of that, I was just going to say... with Saints Row 4, they show these images like Shaundi, one of the members of the Saints who I thought was cool. She's in all these images for it. And I thought, oh, this must mean that the ending where she lives was the ending that counts at the end of 3. And I was like, no, she could be brought back for any reason.
They could literally just say, like, we rebuilt her with magic.
Yeah. She's a cyborg, robot, actually. Yeah.
Do you think I could make a character in Saints Row 3 that looks exactly like Sterling Archer?
Oh, definitely.
All right, I'm literally going to play Saints Row 3 because of that.
Have you not played Saints Row 3?
I played like the first half hour.
Oh you made a mistake.
That game is beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
I love just early in the game, you sing Sublime together, like you're just driving with your friend, and like the Sublime "Lovin' Is What I Got" is on the radio. It's like, oh man, I remember this, and then you sing along to it in the car. Even if you have a zombie voice, your zombie sings along to the song.
Yeah,
Saints Row
really
3
cool.
has swagger.
When I played it, the reason I stopped playing it was because I think we wrote something about it, or at least joked about it on Twitter at the time, that you could make a character that literally was just looked like a guy in blackface.
Uh-huh.
And I made him and gave him the zombie voice, which when it's blackface makes it like even 10 times more racist.
Uh-huh.
And I made that character as a joke and played with it for like 20 minutes, and I'm like, I feel so uncomfortable. And then I just never went back and played it anymore.
That's what Saints Row does to you.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if I can play a Sterling Archer, different story. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with... And we're back with the third segment of Radio Radar.
Ryan, you've lost some weight.
I certainly have. Don't I look good?
Did you try to change your voice to me?
How would you do with Ryan's voice?
Hey guys, hi.
All right.
Oh, dude. So when I was in college, I was about
to make fun of that voice, but you got it at like the last second.
Yeah,
that was more like a stoner up until that point.
Yeah.
Welcome, Greg.
I'm not.
You mean Ryan?
Welcome, Ryan.
You're welcome,
Ryan, our new community manager.
Yeah. You got rid of Greg.
Yeah, we got rid of him and just replaced him with a
another
taller
Ryan.
Yeah. But before we get to the community segment, let's jump into reviews, starting with a game coming out this weekend, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Love. All right, Luigi's Mansion
was really
cool. I really enjoyed it. Like, I gave it a 4 out of 5 on our site. So the thing about Luigi's Mansion.
The thing about!
Is
it possible to create a sentence without saying the thing about?
No.
I don't even know.
The thing about creating sentences
I noticed with professional wrestlers, when they're doing promos, they instead go, the fact of the matter is, and then they say something.
Oh, yeah.
The fact of the matter is, you didn't have the authority to strip me of that belt. And I'm going to, all right. Luigi's Mansion.
The fact of the matter is, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon
is really good. It takes the ghost-busting stuff from the original GameCube game.
Which essentially is, you beat ghosts by fishing.
Okay. Yeah, it then turns into a fishing minigame.
Where you just
I'm glad you said fishing and not what I thought you were about to say.
Well, no, you don't do that.
I don't even know what you were.
Were you going with fisting?
Oh. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You don't fist ghosts.
And it was really cool that they like.
You could. They're not corporeal.
They're not corporeal.
So it would just be like going through like Jello.
Right. In the GameCube original, the ghost catching mechanic was made for 2 sticks, but they've fit it on just to 1 stick in a really cool way. And this was a game that I wish would have come out much earlier on the 3DS because it really shows off the 3D ability to, like, makes each little room a picture box, almost.
Yeah, it looks like a diorama.
Yeah, a little diorama. And it's full of, you want to just touch everything in the game to see what weird thing is going to pop out of it. You might get a comedy sequence, or a ghost will pop out and you have to fight that ghost.
Half of the comedy sequences are something shaking and Luigi getting scared, which I'm like 6 hours into the game, has not gotten old yet. Just Luigi losing his shit, because he is not dealing with the fact that he's a Ghostbuster well. Yeah. He doesn't like it at all.
He hates doing it.
He's miserable.
He's forced to do it.
Even on his second outing?
He is just as sad and scared. Like, there's just points where, like, the character, he'll be like, all right, you have to go into that building, and there's a big ghost, and Luigi just goes like, oh, no, and just kind of, like covers his face and just starts shaking. And actually, specifically when he gets teleported to the, like, even when he gets teleported into the mansion, he just cowers in fear of the teleportation device. And I was the part I was playing the game yesterday, he's like, all right, I'm going to teleport you, and he cowers, and the guy's like, you've done this, like, a dozen times. You don't have to get freaked out. It's okay. And then he goes like, so just don't freak out, don't cower in fear. And Luigi's like, okay. And then he turns on the thing and Luigi just goes like, ah, and hides.
I mean, that's what my cat does. Every time I'm taking her to the vet and I'm putting her into the cat carrier, she just freaks out every time.
It's like a cat, or like, you know how like a chihuahua is always shaking, or a greyhound.
Yeah.
Luigi is essentially a greyhound with a green hat on.
And so, yeah, I'm just not used to in a Nintendo game them putting that much work into the acting, as it were, of the main character. Like, they put so much character into Luigi, it's really neat. And mostly through no dialogue.
Yeah.
Like, or just him shouting things or saying one word. And
one point he falls and literally just goes like, no! Like, just like a death scream.
And it's just it's a neat, like, slower paced adventure game. And they made it good for portables too. Like, they just give you different objectives, like, in different chapters of a mansion. Like, you're in this mansion, just find this one thing in the mansion, that'll probably take you 20 minutes, and then the chapter ends and it saves, and they rank you and score you, so you'll want to replay at least most missions twice. That's how I was feeling.
Right.
And because there's also a ton of collectibles in the game to get you to replay it too. And the last compliment I wanted to give the game was that it ends, the ending of it, which I won't spoil, but it ends with a scene that has, like, been 30 years coming for Luigi. Like, he's deserved this scene for so long, and it finally happened.
I'm going to ask you what it is after the show's over.
Okay.
I just got excited.
So, yeah. Just beat it for that, Mario fans. Or, anyway.
So, yeah, Luigi's Mansion, Dark Moon. Also, a quick review of Gears of War Judgment. You can read the review on the site. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I think it does a really good job at, like, proving sort of how to do a prequel when your prequel is literally supposed to, like, reveal nothing new about anything.
To basically keep people entertained until they can figure out a better
treading
director.
Water. Yeah. It's like, so you play as Kilo Squad, which is Baird, Cole, and two other characters that are new to the series, mm-hmm. and they all have a ton of personality. In fact, it almost feels like Cole and Baird have the least personality. The other characters are more well
which is
developed.
Very strange for Cole and Baird.
That was actually my biggest criticism is, like, Cole and Baird are my favorite characters.
Yeah, you were so excited.
And Baird is my favorite character in all of Gears, and he has maybe, like, 3 pages of dialogue throughout the game.
Yeah.
Like, he just doesn't say much, and it's like, I want him to be condescending to every... It almost makes sense because he has respect for Kilo Squad, mm-hmm. and he never really respected Dom and... never respected Dom and Marcus. So it makes sense that he's not being a dick to his squad mates. But I just wish he was meaner and funnier.
Door opener?
Is that actually...
He's got people to do that for him.
Actually, specifically, it's Cole. Cole is opening and closing every door. Actually, Charlie Barrett, who now works at AtGamer, made a joke that, like, every scene of the game starts with Cole, like, pulling a door shut and locking it. And someone they use, like, different camera angles to make it not look the same, but it's just, like, every time he walks into a room, it's just like, hold on, I got this.
Well, yeah, I loved hated Baird in, like, 3 when they gave him that Australian woman, like, that could have been a love interest, but instead the whole game he's just like, I hate you.
There's one scene where she, like, saves his life, and they, like, kind of, like, both fall down, and he's just like, I know right now I'm supposed to say that I love you, but I don't. I really, really don't. Like, it's just so... And that's what I was hoping for, but there's more emotion in that character during that segment of Gears 3 than there is in all of Judgment. That said, Judgment's story, which is, like, you're just recanting, you're retelling what happened in, like, the days leading up to you being brought to trial for treason and betrayal and, like, 30 other crimes. It's told that way, and it's kind of interesting, even if the villain is kind of boring.
Yeah.
But it does a really good job of explaining, it sets up the gameplay well, which is just short levels, like 5 to 10 minute long levels.
Really short. Compared to what you're used to.
Yeah, and each one is given a special modifier that you can put in there if you want.
Optional modifier.
Yeah, declassified mission where you can walk up and it'll actually be explained by the dialogue. And sometimes it's just like, you'll be about to do a level and you'll be like, oh, there's a bunch of enemies on the other side of the door. And it'll be like, declassified. Kilo Squad said they ran out of ammo, so they only had to use pistols. And that's like a really basic one, but you'll do it. And they'll the characters will actually say, like, our weapons were clean. We're out of ammo. We could only use what we had, and we didn't have much, or something like that. But then there's other ones that are like, the wind was so crazy that we couldn't walk across. We couldn't walk 5 feet without being blown around. Mm-hmm. And the wind will be super, like, it's impossible to go anywhere. Or, like, there'll be super dense fog, so you can't see more than, like, a foot in front of you, and it totally changes the level.
That's pretty cool.
Enemies will only use one shots.
Yeah, enemies only use one shot, which is just one shot. It's essentially, they're using the AWP from Counter-Strike. Like, it does a lot of cool stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's and like the game's really good for like the first 3 quarters, and it just kind of I personally think like the last quarter is not like kind of run out stays its welcome because nothing new happens.
I haven't played the last quarter.
It's a good game, and the multiplayer isn't as robust as previous Gears multiplayer, but it does have a.
There's technically no horde mode.
Technically no horde mode, but there's a mode that is essentially just horde mode, except they called it something else because it has classes.
Mm-hmm. And we're playing that today,
and you defend multiple different points. It's worth getting if you're a Gears fan. It's not going to win over anybody who isn't already excited for it. And it does a good job. It does a better job at treading water without doing anything offensive than God of War.
Yeah.
God of War Judgment. God of War Ascension does. But it's really fun. And it's probably the most fun Gears game, I think. But it doesn't have the epic nature of previous games.
It's very colorful, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pun intended when you said epic nature.
No. Though that's a really good pun. So thank you for making it.
I appreciate you recognizing it.
So that's it for reviews. Moving on to community. What was the question of the week last week?
Last week was, what prequel do you want? Because we were talking about prequels.
Right, right.
And we got some good ones. So let's go ahead and start off with El Jarlavola. I'm going to go ahead and say.
El Jarlavola.
El Jarlavola said a Portal prequel, Cave Johnson's Years... Adapter Science seems like it could be funny. GLaDOS coming in, activated for the first time, would be interesting. Also, yes. There were a couple other people that said that as well.
And
so.
Then you could have, instead of GLaDOS bossing around, you could have Carolyn bossing around.
Exactly.
Instead.
It would be pretty cool.
Spoiler warning for what I just said.
Post what you just said. Let's see. Thombilios. I'd be really interested in seeing a construction of Rapture in the Civil War era that has taken place by the time Bioshock begins. It's pretty tight to see Rapture being built by the Big Daddies and even play on both sides of the Rebellion.
Isn't that what my answer was last week?
Was it?
I think it may have been.
That guy fucking plagiarized
your answer.
That's fine.
But I think that would be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Seeing Rapture go up. No, he's not the winner.
All right.
Don't worry. Let's see.
I'm just saying, maybe he should win. Great minds think alike, is what they say.
Girl Draco 7, the game that would be a prequel to Mass Effect, the Rachni Wars, and the Krogan Rebellion.
People have been begging for that.
Would be cool to play. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that would be awesome.
Because then you get to like, there was a time where Krogans that you fight now in those games are like neutered Krogans.
They are neutered.
There was a time where Krogans were like as large a threat as the Reapers. Mm-hmm. And fighting against those Krogans would be awesome.
Is that history so vague enough that you could put choices in a game that...
But I think you'd have to make it a standalone game that had like, it's going to end in one place no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. You can just make the choices along the way.
Right.
Yeah. I would put the Krogans would kind of be more like the Locust in Gears.
They would, except probably less of them, and they're more powerful.
Right.
Like, one Krogan should be able to screw you up if you don't play your cards right.
Right.
Yeah, and the Rachni Wars would be pretty cool, too.
They would be. Goddamn, that game's lore is so good.
Super Giraffe. I want a prequel to Arkham Asylum, done as the Year One story. For those of you who...
I like the sound of that a lot.
Way over my...
No, year one.
Year one Batman, basically Batman Begins.
It's literally just Batman Begins.
Okay.
There are subtle differences. Ra's al Ghul is not in Batman Year One. But,
he went really high when he said subtle differences.
Well, I knew I was...
The nerdier he gets, the higher his voice gets.
I was surprised. It could be a falsetto.
But I wouldn't be me if I didn't correct you that.
Yes.
Canonicalness.
And so for the winner this week is TranquilBees34. I'd like to see a Far Cry 3 prequel starring Voss and how he became a mentally unstable pirate.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
He was the most interesting part of that game.
And then you could be Voss.
Yeah.
I think that'd be insane.
But you'd be working under...
You'd basically just be doing horrific, horrendous deeds.
See, no, I think it would probably be sort of like Metal Gear Solid 3. Where you'd be like Voss, finding out why Voss became a psychopath.
Mm.
Yeah, that would be pretty interesting. So, anyways, you win. Congratulations. Send me an email, greghenniger@gamesradar.com. And we've got a lot of things to give away. So,
Henry.
Did you have a note about this, Cooper?
About what?
About emails?
I did. I already brought it up to Tom. I told Tom, Tom agreed that we're going to get your email changed
to G or Greg H or
Greg
something
H.
like that.
G-bomb or something.
That's way shorter than Greg Henniger.
It's
currently Greg Henniger, which is GregHenninger @gamesradar.com.
Yep.
So that's the way you can get
Fun
a hold
fact,
of me.
When I was emailing out Greg's, instant message name on the first day?
Uh-huh.
Misspelled it. Left out
horribly?
That last N.
Oh, yeah. There's that sneaky N in there.
It's sneaky. It's a real son of a bitch.
It is. Sure is.
It's a rough thing.
It's a rough N.
Yeah.
I've had it my whole life.
Yeah.
It's been horrible. Question of the week.
Cut it off.
Just cut it out?
Just cut it off.
We had that awesome news of DuckTales coming out. And so the question of the week, game...
Is that awesome news?
It is.
It is the best news.
For people whose hearts actually beat.
Yeah.
Fine. People are happy.
Question of the week. What game deserves a full HD remake? Such as DuckTales.
So an old school game specifically, probably.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with... Which was the Sega Genesis Mickey Mouse game?
I think it was Castlevania.
Where you have the cape?
I think it's... Let's say Castle of Illusion.
All right, so Mickey, Castle of Illusion, where you can play as Mickey or Donald, and the first level's in a forest.
That's a different game. Illusion.
Whatever that Sega Genesis game where you play as Mickey Mouse or Donald and it's like the animations are like crazy beautiful and you have a cape, that game. Because that game looked great for its time and it deserves more recognition.
Cool.
Sure did.
Or Kid Chameleon.
Here's the one I would like. I'm a huge fan of Advance Wars, one of my favorite series around. But as being a big fan, it annoys me to know that there were 15 years of Advance Wars games that we missed out on in America. Famicom Wars, Game Boy Wars, Super Famicom Wars. So I think they should repackage all of those as an HD remake and just sell them to folks on the Wii U and 3DS eShop. Like, just as separate games. I'll buy them $15 a pop for each different game. But come on.
Come on!
So I have no idea why this game is popping into my head above all others, but Maximum Carnage for the Genesis.
Oh, yeah.
That Spider-Man game. Still, I maintain the best Spider-Man game ever. Nice. I want it back. I don't know why I want it back.
In
I don't
glorious
even think
HD?
I don't think it would be even made better in HD. I just want somebody to re-release that game so I can play it and finally beat it.
Yeah.
It's a really hard...
Fucking hard game.
You needed a Game Genie to beat it, honestly. Yeah.
Mine would be Super Empire Strikes Back.
Shocker. That's also one I needed a Game Genie for.
Like, yeah, it was really hard, but you know, jumping around on Tauntauns and taking down AT-ATs and stuff like that.
The Vader fight was really tough.
Isn't it AT-AT?
No, you should get stabbed in the neck if you say AT-AT.
Really?
Maybe if you're an Imperial soldier, like, just talking like with a friend, like, oh, I love the AT-ATs, but... They are AT-ATs and AT-STs.
Who?
Can you tell me what AT-AT stands for?
God, no.
All terrain.
Why would you say...
Assault.
No.
Attack.
No. Henry?
Nope.
Ambush?
Armored transport.
Fuck.
All terrain armored transport?
And then there was the AT-ST.
So why would you call them AT-ATs? Who said AT-AT that you have...
In the movie, they say AT-AT.
I thought they say AT-ATs.
No. Oh, really? God, no.
The other one, you know what the best argument against AT-ATs is?
What's that?
Would you call the AT-STs AT-STs?
Well, no, because it's
AT-ST.
I mean, you'd say AWOL.
I would have said a chicken walker. That's what I'd say. Like, oh, chicken walker's coming.
I have heard them referred to as chicken walkers.
Yes.
But AT-ATs is horrific.
Those things are so shittily designed that they can be destroyed by, like,
they're pretty shittily designed.
A rope.
Yeah. AT-ST stands for?
Nope.
All terrain.
Single transport?
No.
Base?
Close.
Solitary?
No. Scout.
Singular?
I'm going to go ahead and all-terrain scout transport.
So nobody was like that close.
Going over rocks and stuff like that?
But they're light.
I don't even know what machine you're talking about right now.
Is
that the one in the
little
Ewok?
It's the one that the Enterprise
smashed
down.
What's that Star Wars film? It's like seven...
How dare you.
The Seven Deadly Star Wars. Seven Angry Jedi.
The Seven Angry Jedi? They just sit around and just... hack at each other with their lightsabers.
Yeah, that one. Yeah,
it looks a lot like cavemen hitting each other with clubs.
Yeah.
So what happens if they win?
That was my favorite one.
What happens if... Oh, well, if they win, just like Tranquil Bees 34, they get an awesome prize. I've got a lot of stuff sitting at my desk.
It's basically just random shit we fly lying around the office.
It's not that, Tom. It's games and t-shirts.
And what might be...
Figures
what
and
might
stuff like
be,
that.
Just if you're listening, just everyone... Yeah, Henry, cover your ears. It's the you really want the Fire Emblem books. We have these awesome Fire Emblem books. You want them.
They're there. You don't want them. But they exist. So get in contact with me and I will send you something cool.
Henninger. Twitter? Where are we at on Twitter?
You can find us at Games Radar. I do giveaways on at Games Radar as well. And pretty soon we're going to be starting up
It's at Games Radar, not AT.
At Games Radar.
It's the at Games Radar.
We're going to be starting up giveaways on Wednesdays on Facebook too. So there's going to be some cool stuff on there.
Awesome.
We just did a beta code giveaway for Defiance.
So excited for
and Neverwinter. If there's still some, if you're interested in Neverwinter, we have on our website a beta key giveaway. So go ahead and hop in there.
Defiance,
hopefully there are some left.
Which is not an MMO.
Nah.
It's a shooter.
It is a open world shooter.
Right.
Can I call it an MMO?
No. We got an email from their PR saying, guys, it's actually a shooter.
I know their PR. I'm calling it...
It's not an MMO.
I'm calling it an MMO shooter.
I asked my old buddy Josh Augustine, I said, if you were to describe this, what would you call it? And the first thing that came out of his mouth was MMO.
Well, he works for the competition. He wants to confuse the market.
He is a MMO guy. Like, he wrote all the MMO stuff over at PC Gamer. So.
It surprises me that they wouldn't want to kind of ride the Planet Side 2 tail.
Guess not.
Oh, hey, also, don't forget to review us on iTunes, guys.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We haven't had a new review in a while. Come on.
I had one like a week ago.
I didn't see any new ones.
Well.
I want to see new ones.
That's right.
Do it!
And remember to send the pictures we talked about sending to Greg's email address.
Greg
what?
Henninger.
Just, how do you spell
what
your
pictures?
Email address?
Henninger.
Nailed it!
Yeah, send him those pictures we talked about earlier.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't worry about it.
You'll
and we will talk to you next week. Take care. We'll be right back. This is us playing cards. This is us playing cards. We just play cards.
I just won cards.
Woo! That's the one we're using. God damn it.